Please open your Bibles to Colossians 3. And this morning we look at two concise but very important verses. First, a word of introduction. We've already seen in Colossians blessing after blessing that God has given to us, some blessings for all mankind, some just for Christians. One of the greatest blessings God has given is the gift of family. And it begins with husband and wife, and if God is pleased, he will give them children and then grandchildren. The family tree grows. But of course, all those in the family tree, whether they're Christians or not, are still imperfect. These two verses tell us how not only God can guide husbands and wives, but guide them back and guide them through the problems that they face. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter against them. God has summed up these two great guidelines for as every husband and wife, whether they are Christian or not, whether they are newlyweds or been married over 60 or even 70 years. And in these guidelines, we also see God's promises. If husbands and wives do what God tells them to, God will bless them. There is a promise attached, which also tells us if there are significant problems in a marriage, God withholds the blessings and says, do this. God's way works. And if your way is not working, that shows you you need to do it God's way. And fortunately, God tells us right here the essence of the duties of husbands and wives. And there are many, many other verses in the Bible, but he sums it up kind of like the great things in the Bible are summed up in simple language. Remember, someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus summed it up. Love God, love your neighbor. Notice both of them have the word love. And that also carries through in these two commandments this morning. A husband loves his wife in a certain way, and she loves him in a certain way. And when they do it in God's way, the blessings flow, and it's like heaven on earth. Now notice, these are also commands. This is not simply the opinions of Paul or Kurt Daniel or anybody else. It's God's word. It's his commands. And we'd do very well to listen to them. Well, let's begin with the husbands. Notice how he sums it up. Husbands, love your wives. And the main word there is love. Now, that's not just romantic feeling. The world talks about love as romance and usually sex, but that's not what's included here. This is that great word, love, like Jesus said, love God and love other people. It's more than romantic feelings. It's an attitude that follows through in an action, and men, notice it's a command. Husbands, you husbands here today, God commands you to love your wives. And in that is the promise that as you find it difficult, he will help you love your wives. How are we to do this? Well, earlier, one of the elders read Ephesians 5, which gives us more details. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That is, as he loves Christians. We are his bride. And husbands are to imitate that love. It says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself. So, husbands are to love their wives by sacrifice, even to the point of being willing to die for her, to give up things for her. That's what it means to sacrifice. Men, when you put that ring on, when you got married, you're willing to give up certain things. Thursday night out with the guys doing sports, for example. You need to be with your wife, sacrifice certain things, even willing to die for your wife. Take the extreme case. Let's say you're on a cruise and the The boat goes down, it's just you and your wife in one life jacket. Husbands, you give it to your wife. You give up certain things for her. Or if you're starving and there's only enough food for one, you give it to the wife. You give up things, you sacrifice. So God says sacrifice, and that's a way of showing love in imitating Jesus, because he gave up his very life for us. So men, study the Bible, especially the Gospels, and see how Jesus was regularly sacrificing. And there's your example to follow. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Now let's open this up by looking at Ephesians 5 and several other places. Interesting. These words are found almost verbatim in three places in the New Testament. Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, 1 Peter chapter 3. And in each one of them it says, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husbands. So that must be very important, the summary of what the duties are. So how does a husband do this? Well, one way is he is to protect his wife. Christ protects us from the devil. He protects us from going to hell. A husband is to protect his wife. One way is, for example, let's say you're somewhere walking in the mall and somebody makes a pass at your wife. Husbands, step in and say, sorry, bud, this one's taken. You're willing to say, I'm going to protect her from you. You see, you're like a shepherd protecting the sheep from the wolves. Protect her. Also, the Bible says to provide for her. For example, financially, mainly the husband is the breadwinner. But you're to provide for her also emotionally. Fill her heart with love. And to always remind her you love her and love her. And not just on February 14th or her birthday or on anniversary. You love her 24/7, 365 days a year. It says over in Ephesians that you are to provide for her and to cherish her and to nourish her. The word there means to feed. And what does a woman need? Well, a lot of men don't realize that. They say, well, I provide for her with finances and a nice car and all that. That's not the main thing she needs. A lot of men don't know this. The famous psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud at the end of his life said there's one problem he never figured out. What does a woman really want? Duh, every woman will say, what I want and what I need most is love. And that's why a husband is commanded, love your wife, give her what she really wants. That true heart-to-heart love. Ephesians also says a husband is to cherish his wife. That means to value her and to treasure her above everything else. Men, treat your wife like a fine piece of crystal glass, not like an old wooden mug. She's delicate. Treasure her like fine gold and rubies. Cherish her and tell her that. Also, the Bible says to comfort her, to wipe away her tears and to give her a shoulder to lean on and to cry on. Be sensitive to her moods and comfort her as only a loving husband can. There's another key word here. A husband is to show kindness to his wife. You know, a godly woman once said that to me. He says, Kurt, a woman will do anything for her husband if he is kind to her. And another woman said, I would give anything if my husband just learned to be kind and gentle with me. Men, you've married a woman that is like that crystal glass that is very breakable. Show kindness to her, gentleness to her. She's not another man. You know, men can get away with certain things with other men. You know, you slug them in the shoulder and you shake them and stuff like that. You don't do that with a wife. You show gentleness, tenderness, and kindness. And this is how you show love. You be patient with her. I still remember the words of a famous pop song when I was young. Try a little tenderness. You men should be saying amen within your hearts. You lead with love. That's how Jesus leads us. He doesn't lead us with a whip and a stick, but he gently leads us by tugging at our heartstrings and willing to forgive us. He's patient with us. And Jesus showed his loving leadership by serving. Remember, Jesus got down on his knees. This is the Son of God. And he washed the feet of the disciples. Husbands, are you willing to do that with your wife in her time of need? I remember a very godly couple back in Texas. They're both with the Lord. And they've been married about 50 years, and the wife contracted a very serious condition. She could hardly talk. She had no control over her body. She was in pain. And her husband treated her like a queen and waited on her hand and foot. And it was dirty, hard work, and he took care of her. And she said, "This is the most romantic, loving thing." And she said, "This is his love for me is so sacrificial. This is more loving and more intimate than even sex." Husbands, serve your wife. Get down on your hands and knees and do even the dirty work. Sacrifice for her. Now, I know what some men will say at this point. They'll object and say, "But you don't know my wife." No, I may not. But God does. And that's why God says, husbands, love your wives. Yes, some wives are hard to love. They're more like a banshee than a saint. God says, love her anyway. And go out of your way to sacrifice for her. And perhaps your love will touch her heart and transform her. Also, men, if she's not very lovable, you can help her be lovable by you showing love. You see, that's how we respond to Christ. We love him because he first loved us, and that might touch her heart. Loving her will make it easier for her to respond in the proper way. But if you don't, then don't expect her to respond in the right way. Yes, it's not easy. Because I know some of you are saying, "Pastor Daniel, that's easy for you to say, you're a bachelor." Well, but I'm preaching the word of God to you. God says that's not easy. You're married to a sinner, and she's married to a sinner also. You're a sinner. But though it is not easy, God will help you. God will help a willing husband that says, "Lord, help me love my wife. Help me sacrifice. Lord, show me. Help me. Teach me." Even if she's not a Christian, God can help you. Now, how can you do this? Love your wives. First, in what you do. Sacrifice, give up certain things. And as I said in a recent meeting, one way you can show your love is by humbly apologizing to her. Now, I've heard husbands say, "If I apologize, I've lost my authority, I've lost all respect." You've lost her respect if you don't apologize. Learn how to apologize and learn how to forgive. That's a cardinal rule. Don't hold a grudge. Don't say, "Well, woman, that's one, and that's two." Do things for her, not just give gifts. Sometimes just a little thing, a little note. Send her a text at work saying that you've got the best wife in the world and you love her and you can't wait to see her again. Sometimes little things mean a lot. So it's what you do. It's also, many of you listening, what you don't do. A husband should never do things like insult his wife and never, ever use violence with his wife under any circumstances. A man that would do that is not acting like a real man. Oh, he'll say, "I'm showing I'm a man, I'm a boss." No, you're showing you're like an animal, not a real man. Man should never do that. Man might say, "But my wife's beating up on me, what should I do?" Well, you can leave the house. Well, the best thing to do is just be like Jesus. Take it. Aren't you man enough to take it if she attacks you? And if she attacks you, just say, "Honey, I still love you." Be like Jesus. So it's what you do and what you do not do. It's also what you say. Those precious words, "I love you." I've never heard of a wife says, "I'm tired of hearing that." Say it to her and say it in various ways. Remind her you still love her. Or you love her anyway. Give her compliments. Thank her. Or even imitate that husband in the Song of Solomon. Try a little sweet talk. A woman loves to hear that, men. She loves to hear the words, and of course she can tell if you really mean it. Don't say it if you don't mean it. If you don't mean it, she'll know it immediately. But if you do mean it, that'll touch her heart. So it's what you say, but it's also what you do not say. Never insult your wife, men. Never browbeat her. Never ever threaten her. Whatever comes out of your mouth should be edifying to her and should be loving, words of love. Be like Jesus. He showed faithful love. John 13 says, having loved his own, he loved them to the very end. Don't let it end after the honeymoon. That's just the beginning. Yes, those honeymoon feelings will subside after a few weeks. Then you start showing maturing love. You know, when you want a good picture of love, don't just look at some newlyweds, you know, on Valentine's Day with the candles and all that. Look at a couple who's been married 50 or 60 years, like some in our church here. That's like fine wine that is aged. They've gone through the trials and tribulations, and they're more in love now than they were on their wedding day. It should grow and be faithful like the Lord Jesus. Men, love your wives and remember your wedding vows. You did vow before God and before witnesses to love your wife. Have you kept that wedding vow? You may have forgotten it. God has not forgotten and he holds you to it. Husbands, love your wives. 1 Peter 3 says, love your wives with understanding. What does that mean? A lot of men don't understand their wives. In fact, I'd say most men don't. They give credence to the old proverb. Maybe you've heard it. Women think they understand men. Men know they don't understand women. It's a mystery. But a man should say, I don't really understand her, and should say to his wife, help me. I know you're not the same as me. Help me understand. Ask her. And men, listen very closely to her when she says, this is hurting her. This is afraid. She needs guidance. She needs comfort. How she responds, listen very closely to her, as it says here, with understanding. And 1 Peter 3 also says, show respect to her. Don't downgrade her. Men, treat her as a queen, not like a slave. Treat her with dignity and respect, and tell her that and show her that. Now avoid two of the worst possible errors that a husband can ever commit. Number one, he can wimp out, or he can become a dictator, a bully. Colossians 3 says, don't be bitter with her. Keep that right balance so you don't swing by wimping out or becoming a bully. And what are the two most extreme, unloving things a husband could ever do? I tremble to say it, but the worst things a husband could ever do, number one, would be adultery. That strikes at the very heart of marriage. And secondly, would be an unbiblical divorce. The Bible does allow for divorce, but virtually every marriage can be saved when you go back doing it God's way and there's apologies and repentance and forgiveness. Again, some husband will say, this was easy to do when we first got married, but I fell in love and now I fell out of love when I saw what she's really like. Then you need to pray and help, ask God to help you fall back in love. I like what Jay Adams says. He says, well, it says love your wives. Well, I can't. Well, the Bible says love your neighbor. I can't even do that. Well, then Jesus said love your enemies. And if your wife has become an enemy, start there and love her, and then love her as a neighbor, and then love her as a wife. Husbands, love your wives. Let me give this advice too. You're to treat her in a very special way. Treat her like a lady. That means you have to be a Christian gentleman. Gentleman. With politeness with your wife. Say please, thank you. Show her courtesy. Be a gentleman. I've seen some men, even some Christian men, they're not gentlemen. They're slobs and brutes. And they should be ashamed. Men, treat her like a lady. And she will appreciate that. It pays off. Realize that God created men and women different. Now, they are equal, but they are not identical. Remember that. Treat her like a lady. And love her like this. You know, right before I did the very first wedding, about 30 years ago, the father of the bride gave me a little illustration of marriage, and I said, that's it, so let me share it with you. It said, a family is like a ship. God is the owner of the ship. The husband is the captain. The wife is the first mate, and the children are the crew. The Bible is the compass and the map, and the Holy Spirit is the wind and the sails. And if you do it by the book, you'll have clear sailing. But if you don't, it'll be on the rocks. Do it God's way, and God will bless you. Husbands, love your wives. Would somebody please say amen? You men, speak up. Husbands, love your wives. Amen. Okay, and you wives were listening to that. Okay, secondly, look at the text. Wives, submit to your husbands. I'm only hitting the high points on each of these. Wives, this applies to you whether you're newly married or been married a long time, whether you're Christians or not. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Interesting that the husband is to show his love by sacrificing. She is to show her love by submission. Key word here is amen for you too. Thank you, Dorothy. You show love by submitting. That's the key duty here. It means to accept your husband's leadership that God has given over you. You are to love, honor, and obey, follow him, to submit. This word is used elsewhere in the New Testament. For example, Luke chapter 2, when it says Jesus was in subjection to Mary and Joseph. Also used over in Romans chapter 13, be subject to the governing authorities. Similar word is used in Hebrews to be in subjection to the church elders. It means to submit, to follow the leadership. Titus chapter 2 verses 4 and 5 says the older women are to teach younger women to love their husbands. And that word means to show affection to them, and you also do it by showing submission. Now, there is an exception to this. He's not the boss that is infallible and you obey him in everything. The Bible says obey him in the Lord. If a husband commands something directly contrary to the Bible, no wife is to obey that husband. There are exceptions to that. If he tells you to steal something or to lie on the taxes or something like that, you say, I have to obey God. Honey, you do it in a submissive way. You don't submit to him in an unbiblical way. Ephesians 5 says, let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. And just like a wife needs to be confirmed in the love, the husband needs that respect. And again, a lot of women don't realize this, and they go for the jugular, and they insult him, and they demean him, and they don't realize how much that hurts the husband. They need to respect him and say how much they respect him, and more than that, to show it. It's very important. 1 Peter 3 says that women are to imitate Sarah in the Old Testament, and she even referred to her husband Abraham as Lord, my Lord Abraham. Now, some of y'all like the great preacher Tony Evans. I've heard him preach on this, and he says, okay, let's get in practice. Women, turn to your husband right now and say, hello, Lord. And everybody dies laughing. But whether you say Lord or Sir, you are to show respect to him. And 1 Peter 3 says to obey him. You pledged that before God Almighty when you took that vow to love, honor, and obey. When you disobey him, you're disobeying God who told you to obey him. You can't say, well, I'm obeying God, but I don't have to obey my husband. Yes, you do. Within the sphere of his authority, you most certainly do have to. You see, obey is like that word submit. It's used in military. In the military, and some of you have served in the Army, in the Navy, in the Air Force. You know, there's rank. There's the general and the colonel and the captain and all these other things. You learn to salute, you to say, yes, sir. A wife also has to realize God has put a hierarchy in the family. There's the husband, under him the wife, under them the children. I know that is very politically and culturally incorrect, but it's what the Bible says. Wives, submit to your husband, and as we'll see next week, the children are to submit to the parents and to obey them. You obey your boss at work. You obey the policeman that pulls you over and gives you a ticket for speeding. We are to obey those that God has put in authority over us. Let me give you this advice, ladies. When you do not submit to your husband, and when you disobey him, and especially when you disrespect him, you are teaching your children to disobey you and not to submit to you. You're teaching them to disrespect you. You are giving them that example. But when you obey your husband and submit to him and respect him, you're teaching the children to do that for you as well. What goes around comes around. You are to obey your husbands, except when he goes outside his sphere of authority. Ephesians 5 says that he is the head in this family. And the body, the family is like a body with one head, not two. And ladies, you are not the head. You're the heart. And the head needs the heart, and the head sends the signals to the heart. They both need each other, and they need to know their differences and their respective roles that God has created them to fit into. How else can a wife show this to the husband? Well, helping him, for example. That's why God created Eve to be the helpmeet for Adam in that garden. God has put your husband in a certain garden. It's not just the family, but his workplace. His job is very primary. His job, I'm going out on a limb on this, his job is more important than your career. You find your fulfillment mainly in the home. He finds a certain fulfillment not only in the home, but in his workplace. You are to be the Eve that supports him in that garden wherever God has put him. Help him. 1 Timothy 2 also says this. Let a woman quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. You are to learn from your husband, just like you want your children to learn from you. By the way, that means you husbands, you have to be able to teach them. Teach them what? Teach them Bible, the Bible. Lead them in devotions. Answer their questions. Teach them, and wives, learn from your husbands. 1 Peter 3 also says, wives are to cultivate a gentle and quiet spirit. Now some wives, even Christian wives, will say, yes, I'm not a feminist. I submit to my husbands, but inwardly they don't. God calls upon wives to willingly submit, lovingly, not grudgingly. So examine your hearts. What is your attitude in this? Now, as I said with the husband, he shows love by what he does and what does he not do. What about a wife? She is to show love by what she does. For example, she too has to apologize. By the way, whenever there's a dispute and they both need to apologize, the husband should do it first. He should lead in the humbly apologies. And that will make it easier for her. But a wife also sometimes needs to apologize. She also needs to serve and to help. And this is how she shows her love. By what she does and by what she does not do. Sometimes a woman gets back at a husband in a different way. Husband will be tempted to use force and power and yelling. A woman fights back with what she has. A biting tongue. She'll insult or she'll just freeze up and grow cold and withhold affection even in the most intimate ways. That's not right. A wife should show love by what she does and by what she does not do. Also by what she says and does not say. A husband should compliment his wife. A wife should compliment the husband and say, and not just to him, but to her girlfriend. She should not speak bad about him behind his back. But she should say, I've got the best husband in town. I love him so much. He's so strong. He's so kind. He's so patient and so forth. Compliment him to his face as well as behind his back. It's also by what you do not say. Wives, never insult your husband. Don't demean him. Don't sting him with words that you know will hurt him. Don't henpeck him. Don't nag him. A lot of women, they think, that's how I get my way. That's how I get him to do something. He's lazy, and if I don't keep nagging, he'll never do it. No man likes to be nagged, and women don't quite understand that. I'll give you an explanation. Wives, are you listening? Is there a mother here that likes to be nagged by your children? Mommy, mommy, mommy. And you'll say, if I hear that one more time, you're going to your room. Mothers don't like to be nagged, neither do husbands. When you're tempted to nag, zip it. No nagging, no screaming. But rather, the Bible says, cultivate a quiet spirit. You'll get a lot further with quiet affection than with boisterous nagging. And as I said to the husbands, yes, this is not easy. These two commandments, and they are commandments, they're not easy. But it is possible with God's help. He has given you the Holy Spirit. He has given you the Word of God. He's given you godly examples. Not only that, and yeah, if you have trouble with this, go to older godly wives and ask their advice and say, show me where I'm weak and listen to them. The Bible says that Titus chapter 2, older women teach younger women how to love their husbands. And here we find an objection that echoes one I mentioned earlier. A wife will say, but Pastor Daniel, you don't know my husband. This is not going to work on him. You haven't tried it. God's way will work. It may take time. You say, but he isn't a Christian. Then go read 1 Peter 3, which directly addresses a wife with an un-Christian husband. Submitting to him makes it easier for him to love you sacrificially. But when you don't submit, then he'll probably not love you sacrificially, and there the problems start. Again, here's another objection. And this isn't just from the church, it's usually from outside. They'll say, all this about submitting to a husband, that's old-fashioned, that's medieval, that's sexist, that's chauvinistic, that's old-fashioned. We don't want that. We've outgrown that. We're modern. To which I would remind them, this isn't something cultural. Bible says it's built into creation. Look that up, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Corinthians 11. But most important of all, this is God's word. He created husbands and wives differently so that it fits together when you do it God's way. Notice the text also says, wives, love your own husband. Submit to them. You don't have to submit to another husband. But that word own refers to something else. The intimacy of the marriage bond where you belong to each other. Wives, he is your husband. Men, she is your wife. The two become one. The hearts beat it together as one. And let nothing drive a wedge between them. The husband sacrifices for the wife. She submits to him. She doesn't sacrifice for him. Think about this. Who does she sacrifice for? The children. She gives up time. A loving mother will know, you mothers know just what that's like. You sacrifice certain things to change those diapers, to go comfort that little baby, to spend time with the baby. You are sacrificing, and God bless every godly mother in this place for your loving sacrifice for the children. And that's an example for the husbands to sacrifice for their wives. Moreover, wives, before you were married, you were under your father's authority and you submitted to him. And then at the marriage ceremony, the father gave you to the husband. That doesn't mean, hey, hallelujah, I'm under nobody's authority anymore. No, now you are under your husband's authority. And you're to respect him in the way you did, or hopefully did, to your father. Colossians 3 says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. What does that mean? It means it fits. It works. It's like a hand in a glove. God made you different so that it fits. And when you see the differences and you both do your respective duties, It's a glorious thing. It fits and it works. And don't just wait for the man to do his part. You do your part. And when problems arise, remember this golden verse and go back to doing it God's way. Now, as I said, with the husband, there are two of the worst possible things that can hurt a marriage. Adultery and unbiblical divorce from either husband or wife. And if they are guilty in this, what should they do? Men, if you are guilty, you should run as fast as you can to your wife. Get on your knees and beg her forgiveness without excuse and without blaming her. And if the wife has also sinned, she needs to beg her husband's forgiveness and say, please forgive me. And if they're both guilty, they both need to go to God and say, Lord, forgive us, heal us, help us to work this out together. And God is willing to help you out. He is always willing to help out a repentant heart. Before I conclude, let me give a quick word to the singles here. Number one, start preparing yourself. What I have said here will apply to you when you get married. So prepare yourself, you young men here. Well, I have to be speaking to you one day and say, husbands, you love your wife. So learn about this beforehand so you'll hit the ground running. Same thing with you ladies. But secondly, don't marry someone who is not willing to do what these verses say. Men, if you're falling in love with a young lady, she may be the most beautiful one, but if she's not willing to submit to you and follow your leadership, don't marry her. Ladies, you might meet some man that's cool, rich, all these other things that a lot of your girlfriends are looking for, but if he's not willing to sacrificially love you like Jesus did, don't marry him. Wait for God's best. A loving husband and a lovingly submissive wife. Do it God's way. As I keep saying, yes, it is not easy. But I repeat yet again, God's way works. He just doesn't throw a command your way and say, try it, and if it doesn't work, well, give up. No, he gives this command together with the promise. And when you do it his way, it will bring blessings beyond what you can imagine right now. He can heal any marriage. And God wants to bless husbands and wives. He not only wants to help them, he wants to bless them and keep blessing them. And when you do it God's way, you will enjoy a little bit of heaven on earth. Let me correct that. A lot of heaven on earth, because what is the essence of heaven? Christ and his bride loving each other perfectly. May the Lord bless every husband and every wife in this place with his blessing to help you learn to do your duty so that he might bless you abundantly. Shall we pray? Now, Father, I ask that you would bless every husband and every wife that is here and those that are listening in other places. I pray for the singles that are not yet married. Father, I pray for those that are having difficulty with their spouse, even sin. Intervene in their families, O Lord, with your grace and bring healing. Help them, O Lord. And Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus loved us absolutely perfectly and has given us the golden example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.